we don't make good impressions, do we? No order. All right, let's turn our Bibles to the 119th Psalm again. Psalm 119. And we're going to look at verse 105. That'll be the beginning of the 14th stanza in this 22 stanza psalm. Thy word is a lamp. My feet and a light to my path. I'm glad you have an appreciation for the Word of God. We do. We have a people here. We have a little congregation of folks here that sincerely have an appreciation for the Word of God. That's hard to find. Whether you're aware of that or not, it's hard to find folks today that have an appreciation for God and His Word. You have to appeal to them with so many other things, seem like, to get them just the least bit religious. But this is common to God's people. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not. There's some people scattered throughout the world just like you. Just like you. They meet just like you do. And they meet for one thing alone, that's to hear from God. They want to hear from the Lord. They don't care about all the frills and thrills, just hear from God. See what God has to say. This is a most important text right here. There's so much doctrine in this text. That word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light under my pathway. Very important. We need light. I was dealing with this thing Sunday morning, this wilderness world we're in out here, this dark world. Poor people just groping around in the darkness. Men groping in this old dark world, this howling wilderness. Stumbling around, life going by just like that. All of a sudden, they stumble around on the brink of outer darkness. You know, it's dark in this world, but when men leave this world without Christ, it's outer darkness. Outer darkness. Ain't no light at all. It's a bottomless pit when folks fall off the end of this life into that. On the other side, it's a bottomless pit. There's no ending to the fall. It's just, you don't have no bottom to it. You just go down, 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 darkness all around you, darkness. You know, folks have some strange ideas, don't they, about eternity. Those that even, you know, come nowhere around confessing Christ, and you know, some of them even boldly confess that they, you know, yeah, I'm lost, I'm going to hell. But I'll have plenty of company. Like, well, it's a place of isolation. I mean, you know, if you're in pitch dark and there's no light at all, what good is it to have somebody over here on your left hand, somebody over here on your right hand? You can't see them. We're sitting down there in the basement last night. That old dungeon down there. My house is built in a hole. That basement's in a hole in brick. It's surrounded by dirt. I had to put two or three window lights in there to get light at all. And last night when those storms came through and the lights went out, I didn't know she and I was going to figure out how to get out of there. It was dark. It was nothing. I never will forget. I was preaching for a fellow up in Luray, Virginia one time. a long time ago. And I was up there in a meeting, and while I was up there, you know, he took me out a little sightseeing. We went to those caverns in Luray. Anybody ever been to those caverns in Luray, Virginia? You been in there? You been down deep in the cavern? I don't know where the guy did what he did with you and I, but we got down in there, way deep in that cavern, and he and somebody cut the lights out. He had them cut out. I mean, he let our eyes adjust to the darkness just for a few minutes. And, you know, there was people standing here next to me. I couldn't, if I hadn't known they would have been there, I would never, if they'd not made a sound, I'd never known to say. You couldn't see them. And then he lit a match or a little cigarette light or something. It seemed like it was some long time. And all of a sudden, that one little bitty light illumined the whole place. So just a little light, just a wee bit of light, is awful precious in a deep, dark place. And we're in a dark world. I tell you something that's darker than the world. That's the heart that's without Christ. Darkness. Nothing but darkness is upon that heart. I thought about that. Oh, my God. How in the world are we going to help these folks get out of the dark? We don't have but one means. He says it right here. The Word, the Word, the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is the only thing we have to offer them. And we can't find no takers. That burdened my soul. I grieve over this thing. Just labor and labor and labor and try to get somebody interested in what helps them to get out of this world into the next world. Without losing souls, you can't get nobody interested. Singing that song a while ago, rescue the perishing, rescue the perishing. Fanny, I'd love to do that. You know, do what I can to rescue the perishing. They are perishing. I know they're perishing. I don't have no doubt about that. But how to get them out? Other than this word, preaching this word to them, I don't know. There's no other way. I'm not going to cut the corners. Water it down and try to get them some other way because it won't help them. Do you think it will? Does anybody in you think there's any other way? Well, it's a small number of us that hold that view. Sometimes we old hardline Calvinists just toe the line, you know, and hold it right where it is. We're accused by them out here. Said, well, they don't love souls. Ain't nobody loves souls any better than I do. Hey, old Barnard was accused of that. He said, well, he don't love souls. He said, I love souls. But I'm not going to mutilate them, butcher them up. They don't come by the gospel. And not but one gospel. Not but one gospel. It's pure. I mean, it's either the gospel or it's not the gospel. Gospel pure. It's a pure way. It shows men how to get out of this world for the saved soul. My God, how we're going to do it. Seems to be no way of stopping them from falling off into outer darkness. Look over here at Matthew 4. Look at verse 12. is when Jesus, you know, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, or Nephilim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness. The people which sat in darkness, that's where they are now, in darkness. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, that's where they are. Folks who are in darkness are in the very shadow of death. The second death, everlasting death, annihilation from all the living, annihilation from God, cut off. I'm not talking about annihilation of soul, no such thing. I'm talking about just being cut off from all hope. They're right there on the brink of it. Right there in the border. That's what he said here. Coming into the region, into the border of these countries here, and calls them folks that sat in darkness. But when Jesus came, they saw great light. Jesus brings light. He's the light of the world. And they saw great light. To them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. That's another reason we've got to stay right where we are and preach what we preach. Convinced that it's the only way. Because we preach Christ. We preach the doctrine of Christ. And give folks the pure way to glory. If God's ever pleased to cause light to spring up, it'll spring up out of that message. I believe that. I really do. I believe it. And that'll be when they'll have hope. When they'll have hope. Let me show you something. Look way back over here in the beginning of the book. The very beginning of the book. Genesis chapter 1. Talking about light, how precious light is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see that there? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Utter darkness. No light. No light at all. None whatsoever. And the Spirit of God moved. This word move here means he brooded over the waters, just like he did over the virgin's womb. He brooded over the virgin's womb, Mary. And she conceived and brought forth a son. They called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So this is what's going to move upon the face of the waters. And God said, oh my soul, this is what we need. We need God to say, let there be light. No way under the sun that I can cause the light to shine in the heart. The sinner's heart is just as steeped and deep under the darkness of his depravity, his ruin, as this old world was under the darkness of that chaotic condition, that unformed condition. Darkness. I'm going to tell you what I'm saying here, so because I read it over here in the second letter to the Corinthians. You want to look at that? Now keep that in your mind over there. See, God had something to tell us about the gospel when he wrote that right there. He wasn't just talking about creation, about the creation of matter and the forming of things out of matter. You know, we got to learn to look for the gospel in this book. Look for Christ. When he said, "Let there be light," he's talking about the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. And the moving of the Spirit of God is regeneration. I'm telling you what's true. Over here in the fourth chapter. The second Corinthian letter. Look at verse number 3. Let's just read it. He said, we'll read the context a little bit. Therefore, verse 1. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Greek there is shame. Having renounced the hidden things of shame. What's he talking about? Shame. He says not walking in craftiness. This don't describe this thing out here today. Craftiness. I mean, you know, if you want to build a big church, you got to have craft. He performed some tricks, you know. Right? Craftiness. Now watch this. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. My soul. I don't want to deceive nobody. I don't want to deceive a soul. I mean, we're handling eternal things when we deal with souls. I don't want to be the cause of somebody missing this thing. And if they go there, they're not going to go there without knowing what the Bible says. So Paul said when he went to Ephesus, he said, "I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." What did he say before that? Huh? I'm free from the blood of all men. For when I came to you, I shunned not to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. But from house to house, those people that he had the privilege of entering into their homes and teaching them the gospel, he taught them the gospel. That's what he's talking about there. And because he didn't leave anything out, He declared the whole counsel of God. He was free from the blood of those people that he ministered to there in Ephesus. That's what he's talking about over there. They got all kind of ramifications for that stuff, you know, for that text over there. All kind of stuff they try to use it for. Try to impose upon people. Bind them up with guilt, you know, if you don't get out there and knock on doors. What was Paul talking about? He's talking about being honest with men. Telling them the truth. One thing, go out there and knock on the door, and if you do, happen to get invited in, you know. It's another thing to tell them the truth. You know, I was thinking about this thing today. This Bible here, there's three major doctrines in this Bible. It runs all the way through you. There's a consistency. Yep. There's theology, which is the doctrine of God. And then there's the doctrine of man. And then there's the doctrine of Christ. In other words, theology tells you who God is. And what God's like. It gives you the character and the disposition of the Creator. Anthropology, that's the doctrine of man. Man is seen in this book to be a ruined creature. A fallen creature. This book from start to finish tells you that natural man is dead in sin. There's no good in him whatsoever. How do you reflect that against God? The revelation of God. What you got to have? Christ. And that's the book. That's the book. And if a man don't see that, he needs to take his shingle down. Get up. Get out of this bit. He can't preach to souls. Just can't do it. Let's go on. He says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of what? The truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But, he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, that are... And that's why I took you over there. What was it, last Sunday morning? I don't know that word, perishing. Perishing. Now, the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that might have been Sunday before that. This time, gets by. I can't keep up with what I preach from one Sunday to the next. It's going so fast. But you remember I got into this word study here on being saved and perishing? That's that same word over in 1 Corinthians 1:18, perishing. Translated is lost. And the Greek literally says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are being lost. They're lost and they're being lost more and more. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, there it is right there, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, now here it is right here, and that's going back over here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. For God, who commanded, he's talking about what happened over there in the beginning, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Same principle at work. Just like there was no light in that unformed matter over there. No light whatsoever. Darkness, darkness. Spirit of God moved upon it. God spoke. The word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord said, let there be light. And the same work, the same process takes place in the soul. I would that God could see this. When God saves a sinner. Until God says, let there be light. Let there be light. I don't care how many trips you make down in front of the church. How many professions of faith you make. How many times you baptize in the pool of water. If God doesn't say, if God doesn't command the light to shine in the heart, you remain in darkness. This is greater miracle in the salvation of the soul as it was in that creation of the world. That formation, it came up out of the matter. Y'all believe this? Not because I'm saying it. I'm reading it to you, right? I don't want you to believe nothing because I say it. You see what I'm talking about there? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined. I like what the Greek has in this margin here. Boy, it makes it that much clearer. You see that? You got your Cambridge Bibles there. The Greek has it like this. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, is He who hath shined in our hearts to give the light." To give the light. Isn't that wonderful? The same God over here is working over here in the hearts of sinners. See how much gospel goes there in that first part of the book? It's all in here. Shine in our hearts to give the light of the glorious gospel that really could have been translated to give the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's what the gospel is. It's the light of the glory of Christ. I love to study this. Just fiddle around and let God take your mind. Just take your mind somewhere. Meditate. I do this in preaching. I mean, things are coming to light right now that I didn't even think about saying. Spurgeon said he loved it when God flew it in on angel's wings. And the people do too, don't they? Oh, my soul. Most folks get nothing out of here but what's rehearsed. Might as well sit there and read a Reader's Digest book. The glory of Christ revealed in our hearts is our light. That's our light. We have that in manifestation of His person. What a wonderful thing when God opens up our old dark hearts, blinded minds, and let the light of who Jesus Christ is, His person, shine unto us. We truly see then He is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Once He's revealed to us, we're like Israel over there in Goshen. When there was darkness in all of Egypt, there was light in Goshen. That's us, you know. We're up in this old wilderness world, this dark world. It's dark all around us. Spiritually, it's dark. Can't talk to folks outside of your own little craft about anything spiritually. No way in the world you can talk to them. Can't get them still long enough to hear you. If they hear you, they say, well, he's some kind of kook, fanatic. Bust me because I don't understand a word he's saying. Dark, spiritually dark, just like it is physically dark out there tonight. It's darkness all around us. But there's light in Goshen. There's light in here, isn't it? Why? Because there's light in your hearts. The Lord has manifested Himself unto us. Let me show you something here. Look here at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Go ahead. Turn over to John while you get that there and hold your finger there. And then look at John chapter 8. Hold your finger at John chapter 8. See in Matthew chapter 5 now. Look at Matthew 5, and we're going to flip over that quick. Matthew, did he say that? He's talking to his people, he's talking to us. Those of us who've had Christ revealed to us. Christ is in our heart. He's dispelled the darkness, and he's lit our souls up with the knowledge of his person, understanding of who he is and his work. His work, what he performed, and why he did it, what it affected when he came into this world. Then over here in Matthew, or in John chapter 8, verse 12, here it says that, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. It's interesting that this comes on the very heels of where he delivered that adulterous woman. That woman was caught in adultery, first part of John 8. And when he released her, he said, sins are forgiven. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then he makes this statement right on the heels of that. He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He just lit up a heart there. He took the darkness away. He brought the light in. And so when it said over here, ye are the light of the world, we're the light of the world because Jesus is in our heart. He's in our soul. We're the only light this world has. While he was in the world, Brent, he was the light of the world. Now he's left his church in the world. He's lit a light and set it on a hill that the world might have some light. That light will lead all his children to it one of these days. All of them are going to come. His sheep. His sheep. Sheep love light. They do. They love light. I told you that story. That my friend down here on the river runs that dairy farm. Everybody hear that story? Everybody's heard it? Huh? I was trying to find one, hadn't heard it. You hadn't heard it? Y'all pass it down here, used to, you don't anymore. Just you come 166 and pass that dairy farm. Now, Doug Patterson, his dad ran that dairy for years. He passed away a few years back. Doug still runs that dairy. He doesn't build cows anymore, raises heifers for the dairy people up Wisconsin, places like that. But anyway, he got him a bunch of sheep here a few years ago. Had a little flock of sheep, and these old wild dogs that roam the wilderness that up down that river there. Started catching the sheep at night. They come in there at night, pack up, come in there and kill sheep, sometimes two or three. He's losing sheep. The fella knew sheep, knew them real well, told Doug, said, I'll tell you what you do, stop it. Said, those sheep come in that little meadow down there around those ponds at night. And he said, if you'll put you up a security light down there, good bright security light. Said, they'll come in there and lay around that light. Because they love light. He said, those dogs won't come in there. They love darkness. Huh? They'll stay in the dark. And so what are we doing out here? We're shining light. What are we shining for? It's all God's sheep in. That's all I expect to get in here, Tommy, is God's sheep. Huh? I know they're going to come. Sometimes you've got to go along with them.